my life in the last 5 or 6 years, the grace of God's been over my life, and it's always over my life. We need the grace of God, okay? Without that, we're goners. No. We... I'm a goner. No, seriously, because we need it. I need it, you know. And it's not just to sit on our hands to do nothing and say that I'm without sin. But it's actually to empower us to go forward. And, you know, I mess up all the time, and that's why I love the grace of God. But God empowers me to go forward and to be able to fulfill the destiny. The Holy Ghost is one thing to receive the grace, but the power of the Holy Spirit empowers us to fulfill the destiny. I don't believe you can fulfill your destiny without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and the Father. You know, I mean, the grace of God can be over your life without the Holy Spirit. It can. Because when Acts 19, when Paul the Apostle met some believers who were taught by Apollos, and he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Some people say that, oh, if you don't speak in tongues, you're a goner. But that's not true. It's, all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord. God's so gracious, so amazing. He just blows my grid. I feel like backstroking in a minute. I just think I'm going to do that. So there's a river of God flowing through this place. But you know, that the Holy Spirit empowers you. He gives you the authority to speak. Peter was had foot and mouth disease. But on the Acts 2, when God poured out His Spirit, He gave one of the best sermons ever on record. He did. And some people drink alcohol in the natural, which is wrong, to actually give confidence to speak publicly. Have a bit of a swig, so it gives me a bit of, you know, settle my nerves. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But that's kind of, in a way, how much more powerful when you're actually filled with the Holy Spirit. When you speak, the authority that just releases out of your mouth. And the Holy Spirit also releases mysteries. And that's why I want to talk about tongues. I won't go into too much details of my testimony because we're running out of time. But I prayed in tongues. I prayed in the Holy Spirit for 2 years, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. People thought my cheese leaked off my cracker. And I would have done some things differently. I would have back then. I was a bit like, shut up. You want, you know, when you're in the cash out, when you go in the checkout, they go, you want cash out with that? Shut up. You know what I mean? But you can pray in tongues under your breath. You don't have to go, shut up, in the supermarket. Because then the white men in the suits will come. Or the men in the white suits, I should say. This is a bit racist. No. Sorry. But what happens is you can pray in the spirit on your breath. Shut up. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, and it is praying in tongues. Someone said, can I just pray in my head in tongues? No. Shut up. You're just praying the Holy Spirit, and what's happening is you're unlocking mysteries. I just had such a revelation. I had a visitation of Jesus in the living room, like Solomon. It was true. I was depressed, had this encounter. I was getting angry with the Lord, saying, where are you? Because I was suffering depression, and all of a sudden, I was before the Lord. I was like Isaiah. I was like the fear of the Lord was there. And it was like, if I could put it in English, it was like, well, I'm here now. But the voice was like a river that went through me. I'm here now. What would you like me to do for you? And I was like Moses. You know what I mean? Moses, you know, he's in the desert. Moses, how long have you been in the desert? 39 years. But, you know, the Lord, the fire of God went through me. I was actually the fear of the Lord. And I couldn't answer the question, what do you want me to do for you? And I actually thinking that I had a lot of money back then. I was a millionaire. There's nothing wrong with having money, okay? Nothing wrong with having money at all. But money was driving me. So whatever drives you is your God. And I was sort of, I was thinking, can't believe I was repenting. I was before the Lord. He's there in my living room because I wasn't in a good place. And said, what would you like me to do for you? I was actually thinking in my head, I could ask for more money. I could, and then I went, well, actually, that's made me. I was thinking about all the problems and employees and legal stuff. And I said, no, that's actually made me miserable. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And I remember going... Yeah, because we're talking like it was like the baseball stadium lights. I said, Lord, I said, give me, this is not scriptural, but I said, give me double portion of Solomon's wisdom. And what happened was like this, in this realm, it just went, I got sucked out of it. And then I find myself on my knees hyperventilating, and there was a wet patch because I was tears coming out of my eyes because I was crying, but I didn't realize I was crying. And then I got up and I'm like, that was real. I thought, God just appeared to me. And then I thought, I've got to tell somebody. It was really late at night because I used to come home really late. My family were asleep. And I actually opened the door. I was trying to, talking about waking up my wife. You never do that. And I was a bit like, you know, the Warner Brothers cartoon where I was trying to explain to my wife, a big cat, huge. You know, I was trying to explain to my wife that God was in the living room. You know what I mean? And she said to me, you always wake me up. So I just went, got out. And I thought, where's my Bible? I thought, I've got to try and find. I went to the, I had this office in my house. And I'm knocking things over and sort of looking for my Bible. And I got my Bible and I went, okay, I went back to where I had that visitation. You know, the Bible was full of dust. And I opened it up, and this is a true story. As I opened up, I was reading, it said, because you didn't ask for silver and gold, okay, got that there, or the life of your enemies, yep, okay, we all have enemies, yep, but you asked for wisdom. And wisdom I grant you. And I remember just dropping the book and just weeping. And that wasn't a coincidence. That's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence. But it wasn't a coincidence. And I just sort of wept. And then after, I couldn't sleep all night. I remember just being sort of, wow, God spoke to me. And I remember just... my wife was preparing the breakfast for the kids' school. And I was sort of saying, honey, the Lord appeared to me last night. She's ignoring me. Again, look, this is big. God appeared to me. Paula. And she's just, God gave me wisdom. And she's just ignoring me. So I'm sort of getting a bit of pride, like, God gave me wisdom. Whew. I thought I was going to be an intellectual genius. So I'm sort of going to work. It's a bit like that, you know, that Jim Carrey movie. I've got the power, you know. So I go into the office. I get all my staff, everybody, into the lunchroom. Everybody comes in. I go, okay, everybody. God appeared to me last night. He gave me wisdom. I want you to all write it down. But, you know, that was a disaster because 3 weeks later, I was making the most dumbest decisions you can ever make. I was getting worse. Things were sort of, I thought, what was that all about? And I remember the office manager that I employed, she went, wisdom, huh? And I just felt like a real idiot. But with me, I don't shrink back and go, I'm a little bit stubborn with things like this. I thought, Lord, I know you appeared to me. I asked for wisdom. That's not a coincidence. So I went, there was a time where I started seeking God. And I went into that office in my house because I had two offices, one in the city and one in my house. And I started seeking God in the den, you know, this office, just crying out to God, God! I was so stubborn for days, just crying out. Long story short, as I was crying out for God, it sounded like a Hawaiian wave just went, just hit me. And I was rolling around on my office floor going, like that for, and let me say this, it went for a week. I couldn't stop laughing. The power of God hit me so hard. It was just my own little personal revival. I was just rolling around uncontrollably going, shut up. I didn't know what was happening to me. And I was oblivious to the whole Toronto thing. I didn't really know. I was just rolling around laughing uncontrollably. I couldn't stop laughing. And I even, I was a bit ignorant. I thought it was geography. I thought it was just that room did it, you know. So I come out of the room like this and my wife's sitting there. I go, you go in that room. You'll fall over and you'll laugh. My wife goes, I'm not going in there. So I just go back in there and she hears for days. And then she'd have friends over having cups of tea. They're having cups of tea and you hear this psychotic carnival clown in the next room and she's, and they're going, what is going, and just ignore him. But let me just say this. I couldn't stop speaking in tongues and laughing. At first I was laughing for a week, but I just couldn't stop speaking in tongues. My point is, that I've got a point with this. There's a point to this that I just couldn't stop speaking in tongues, but that's what brought me into my destiny. Some people say, well, what's the, you know, I heard about Heidi Baker getting whacked. She was pushed around a wheelchair for about a week or two. Right? Her life was hard yards, but then she got whacked in the Holy Ghost, got pushed around the wheelchair because she's like, and you go, where's the fruit in that? Okay, well, she planted 10,000 churches. That's a pretty good fruit, don't you think? Yeah, I would say that. But with me, when I was praying in the Spirit, it says in Romans 8:26-27 that we utter groans. It says that we utter groans we cannot express, and the Spirit is interceding on your behalf to the Father in accordance to God's will. Let me say that again, in accordance to God's will. Now, I want to ask you the question, who wants the will of God in their life? Now, I'm saying this because I asked you if I said this testimony. You said you haven't heard of it? Okay, I want to make sure they're not repeating myself, but I'm sharing this about praying in the Spirit. I actually couldn't stop speaking in tongues. I was just praying in tongues, and I just had such a revelation because I got fed up the way I was living. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth, but if it's in God, fantastic. But it brought me to depression because I wasn't in God with it. And I was tied to a family that was very wealthy. My family was one of the biggest building companies in South Australia. And I was tied to that. I had to disinherit myself. Because the Lord said, if you want to see the supernatural, you have to walk, stand on your own, and you have to completely be connected to me, tied to the fullness of the deity, the Godhead. If you want to see it, because there was a lot of manipulation and control. I love my family, but there's a lot of manipulation and control with money, with old money. And so I had to cut away from it and live like a normal citizen, hand credit cards back. That was scary. But what happened was I was praying in the spirit and things shifted. And I'm not exaggerating. You can ask my wife. I prayed in tongues for 2 years, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. I had a weekend off with my family, but I was just praying in the spirit because I was so passionate to have the will of God manifest in my life. And I believe I wouldn't be standing here and doing what I do internationally, seeing miracles, seeing the dead raised, seeing eyes opening up. I've seen deaf ears opening up, hearing. And I've seen the miraculous. I've seen a woman come out of a coma who's brain dead and they cancel the funeral. I've seen a baby who is brain damaged from meningococcal disease, and he was one of the highest profile men in South Australia, his grandson. He was beside himself. The power of God broke out. The angelic realm opened up. It was like the angels ascending and ascending. The baby was restored, and in the ICU unit, they were like, we've never seen this before. And he was in the paper called Super Ted. They called him. The baby's called Ted. But he was completely healed. And I'm saying this to give God the glory, but I just want God's will. When you pray in the spirit, you're uttering mysteries and revelation gets released to you. Revelation is the key to walking in the spirit and walking in faith. I believe you can't walk in faith without revelation. Because revelation, it actually expands your mind and you see it before you see it in the natural and you step out. Like Indiana Jones, if you know what I'm talking about. You see it. You can't step out in faith without seeing it with your spiritual eyes. Faith is like a woman being conceived, who's married, conceived, husband and wife, and you can't see the baby, but you get excited. When a woman announces, I'm pregnant, you don't hear when you go, he might have a miscarriage. Do you ever hear that? There's joy. There's excitement. But where's the baby? But that's faith. That's a parallel of faith. And what we've got to do is when we pray in the Spirit, God releases the Word, the Logos, into Rhema. You start to open yourself up with the faith realm and you actually step in and you have actually encounters. When I say that, you in the night, you pray in the spirit, but in the night, you will have encounters if you pray in tongues constantly. That's why Paul had such revelation. He wrote 25% of the New Testament, and he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, I really believe without the Holy Spirit, it's religious. Personally, I do. Some people will probably get upset about that, but You can be saved, but I believe you live a religious life. Now, Acts chapter 3. I love the scriptures, how it's like this. The scriptures have got so many layers of revelation. Even though something happens in the natural, they document it in the Bible because there's a layer of revelation where you see it with your spiritual eyes. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was disabled, and they had to carry him to the temple near the gate called Beautiful. And in a way, that's religion. When leaders, there's a lot of spiritual people out there who are spiritually disabled. They're bound by religion. And the leaders has to carry them to Jesus. And who is the gate called Beautiful? Who is beautiful? Manoah, when he encountered God, he said, my name is beyond beautiful. And this man near the gate, He waited there for years, I can imagine, but they carried him to the gate every day. So that's what religion is carrying those who are spiritually disabled to Jesus. But we're not just meant to just be near Jesus, we're supposed to encounter Jesus. See, the kingdom of heaven is around you. It's closer than you think. As Adrian's saying, it's closer than you think. Jesus is closer than you actually know. And what happened was John and Peter, you know the story, the man who was a beggar asked for money, and he said, "Silver and gold I have not, but in the name of Jesus, walk, and he actually got completely transformed and healed, and he went into the gate and praised God. See, Peter and John were entering into the temple, entering through the gate of beautiful. They had access to it because they understood and they had a relationship with Jesus, the beautiful one. And what happened was, when the man had a revelation of in the name of Jesus walk, he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, that empowered that man, and he actually entered through the gate of beautiful. He entered the gate where Jesus is the gate. He is the door, and he encountered Jesus, but he also went through the courts. It says in Psalms 100, give thanks, have a heart of thanksgiving when you come to the gates. But when you enter the courts with praise. Psalms 100, it says that. So what God wants us to do is not beg at the gate, not beg to Jesus. He wants us to celebrate that by faith and have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is actually an act of faith. And revelation gives us the ability to thank God and get excited. Like a pregnant woman. Thank you, Lord, I'm pregnant. I'm going to be with child. And what happens is we have access to Jesus, but we can also have encounters in the courts of heaven, and we can actually celebrate what God has for us, the promises he has for us in the courts of heaven, and then you'll see the manifestation of the power of God and the blessings of the Lord in the natural. Am I making sense? Now, I've had heavenly encounters. I'm not bragging about this. It says we've got to be careful about those who boast about the great things they've seen, Colossians 2, and talk about how they've, you know, worship angels, and we've got to be careful of that without embracing the head. I want to embrace the head who is Christ. But let me say this. I've had encounters of heaven. I was in Hong Kong a few years ago, and I got caught up in the third realm. I was ministering in a church in Hong Kong, and I got caught up in the heavens. And this is the closest sound that I've heard. This is the closest sound I could say that matches up to what I heard. All right. And what happened was I was in this realm and everything was worshiping God. Even the plant life. There was just these sounds that were just beyond the frequency of sound, if that makes sense. It was such a frequency that just flowed, and everything was just in sync, just worshiping the Lord. And I remember, I'm going to give a quick version of what testimony of what I experienced, because a lot happened. But I remember walking along, and the melody changed. I was hearing this, but it changed, and there was a male voice started singing, and this voice just from out of the nowhere, just started hearing this male voice worshiping, saying, he was singing, "I can sing of your love forever." It was a male voice. And I remember thinking to myself, I remember that song. I remember that old Pentecostal song. Wow, that's a good song. And it was just this, if I can explain it, it sounded like a sanctified version of Neil Young, that old singer, you know? Funny, Neil Young, the old singer. But it was just this anointed male worshiper singing, "I can sing of your love forever." And I said to the Lord, "I know that song." Well, I just said it to myself. I didn't realize the Lord was with me. The Spirit of God spoke to me in that place and said that song already existed before it came to earth. You see, when we worship the Lord, we actually come close to the gate. When we start to meditate on the promises, when we meditate, see, devotions is not necessarily task praying. Now, I task pray a lot for people, but devotions is meditation. And when I say meditation, it says in Psalms 1, it says, he who meditates on my word day and night is like a tree planted next to a stream. And even Joshua chapter 1, if you meditate on my laws, my words, you'll come into success. And devotions is actually coming to the presence of God and just meditating on the word, meditating on his promises. And as you direct your mind and your thoughts to the promises of heaven, your dream life will change. Your vision life will change because you're coming close to the gate. Some people say, why do I have nightmares? Christians, I have nightmares. Because you're meditating on the wrong thing. I won't go there because we're running out of time, but we're meditating on the wrong thing. But the more we meditate on the promises and we start to use a sanctified imagination towards the promises and start acting out yourself, being with Jesus and start being creative. It says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, if you steadfast your mind towards the Lord, you'll come into perfect peace. The word mind in Hebrew in that passage of scripture is yetzer, which means creative imagination. God wants you to be creative with your imagination. Nothing wrong using your imagination with devotions. You know, of all people, you'd be surprised about this. Joel Osteen's mother had terminal cancer. And people think that Joel Osteen's is probably maybe a bit religious. He's not really, but he comes from a very supernatural family. He's a smart man because he gets a lot of people into the kingdom who are very, you know, in the early stages of their walk. All right, he's a smart man. I don't want to mock any ministry, but his mother had terminal cancer. You know what she did? She put up all the images of her when she was younger on the wall. Her doing all the activities she did when she was younger, and she meditated on it, she visualized it, and praised God in worship and thanked the Lord and attached the promises of God to those images. And she started getting excited. And things start to change. Those things start to change, and there are real laws of attraction. You start to position yourself to the gate. Beautiful. Instead of begging God, God wants us to get excited and come to the gates with thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Whew. Yeah, I'm healed. Lord, my debt has gone away. The mortgage is, wow. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for the promises, Lord. I thank you for that angel of prosperity. And Lord, Genesis 24:40, I thank you, Lord God, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, every riches, not only just money. It's not just about money, but it's about the revelation and the ingenious mind of God to give you inventions, to give you creative ideas, to bring something onto the earth, to manifest business plans on the earth, to change society. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do is Adrian and I are going to impart. Adrian has a great revelatory teaching gift. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are called to be prophets. Some are called to be a prophetic evangelists. Some of you are called to be a prophetic pastors. We all can be prophetic. But today we're going to just release something, unlock something, so you can receive an impartation where dreams and visions are activated. And then the rest is up to you to start come into that place of devotions, intimacy, to come to the gate of beautiful with thanksgiving. Not begging. Not being depressed. Lord, help me. I've been carried here every day towards, you know, it's like religious spirits carrying you because you're spiritually disabled. God wants us to be walking in the Spirit And he wants us to enter through the gates of thanksgiving, the beautiful gate, and come into the courts and start receiving our promises. I go in the courts all the time in the spirit, and I decree what's mine. As not being greedy, it's just what my inheritance is. And the title deeds. There's an eternal law, a timeless law, that overrides the natural laws of physics. That's why I see the miracles. Right? And you can do it. If I can do it, a man who's dyslexia, has a man who was full of, he was dyslexic, but he was full of fear when I was younger. I failed school. My brothers and sisters went to the best college. I went to the public system because it was like the Forrest Gump experience. But the doctor said, your son's different, Mrs. Thompson. I did it, they thought, because they didn't know what dyslexia was. They didn't know what dyslexia was. And I thought by the time I was 11, my brothers went to the best college. I'm in the here with the... In, I won't say too much, but... And I asked my mother, she said, the doctor said, you're not academic enough. What's academic? Well, you're not smart enough. And I thought, I walked away rubbing my temples like, I really thought maybe I'm retarded or something like that. You know, but that was put on me. So, but that's completely changed because I know I have a full, I won't say full, but I have a revelation of my identity. I knew the book, my title deeds, when I say, I should say, I know the blueprints. I know what I was supposed to do right before the foundation of the earth. It was given to me. I got it. I've swallowed it. It's in me. And now I'm walking it out. I've got my problems and issues I'm working through because we're in a fallen world. But man, I want to be close to the gate. See, Peter and John, they knew Jesus. Acts 4, when this, the religious institution, when they came before the Pharisees, they said they noticed that these men were with Jesus. But they're uneducated men, but they noticed that they've been with Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter if you're uneducated. It doesn't matter if you have any issues or flaws. Just spend time with Jesus. And let me tell you, you're going to just blow people's toupees off. Because the glory of God's going to be so strong. You're going to be just, you're going to be like Daniel standing before Nebuchadnezzar. And he's going to be undone because the wisdom that comes from above. I thought it was going to be intellectual genius, but it was the wisdom to understand the language of heaven and understand the mysteries of dreams and visions. Because Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and what happened was he stood before Nebuchadnezzar and he had wisdom that came upon him. And Nebuchadnezzar, the most ruthless king, was undone and he gave glory to God. And this is coming back in this era. This is coming back in this age. God's raising up an army. It's a corporate company to move in the power and the spirit of Elijah and release that Daniel Belshazzar anointing to actually bring down the demonic powers of political correctness and those of postmodernism of these leaders that are bound by these demonic powers that are going to come undone and go, what must we do to be saved? And I thought I was, you know, God just gave me wisdom. I had this bit of pride, but God dealt with me with that. Because he said, let me tell you this. Luke 11, Jesus said something important. He said, how many come to hear Solomon's wisdom? The queen of the south came to hear Solomon's wisdom and see all the array of Solomon. And he said, but there's one greater than Solomon here. He's talking about himself, and that one greater than Solomon is inside of all of us. The hope of glory, Colossians 1, Christ in us. You have that wisdom from above, and all you do is open your mouth. You pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, come to the gate, use your imagination, get excited with thanksgiving, and you'll enter the courts and take the blueprints of heaven for you, and you will walk the way Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6.